In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the story we just heard, Jesus calls four of his disciples. And in both scenarios, you probably noticed how it said they respond immediately. They don't say, let me run this by my spouse and let you know tomorrow. They don't ask, how do we pay for this? Will our food and housing be covered? They just drop everything and go. I've always heard this story and thought, that's a really nice story. But thank God I wasn't one of the fishermen standing there. Because a revised passage would have to sound something like, as Jesus walked by, he saw them fishing and casting their nets into the sea. And he said, follow me. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. All except that fisherwoman, Andrea. She had too many questions and was left standing with a net in her hand. From talking to others, I know that thankfully I'm not alone in feeling this way. Most of us like to plan, gather data, and consult with other people before we make major life decisions. So the fact that the disciples just pick up and go blows our minds. When we hear the story, we focus on how they left everything behind. But we don't think as much about the difficulty of what they were heading into. They were stepping into a role that was totally new to them, being asked to be leaders in a movement, and they were not prepared. At least on the face of it, there was nothing to suggest that they were ready for the work they were being called to. Unlike how other rabbis at the time might have had an application process to vet the good disciples, these guys were picked up off streets and seashores. They also didn't have any obvious credentials or letters before or after their names to validate them. Should anyone have said, you guys don't know what you're talking about, they'd have to be like, yeah, you're right. And when Jesus sent them out to minister on their own, there was no formal training time to get comfortable in what they'd be doing first. I can imagine myself being told by Jesus that I was going to go out and preach and heal and cast out demons, saying something like, now, Jesus, if I am going to be a messenger of the good news, wouldn't it be good if I had a few courses on oratory first? And I would definitely like to practice a few exorcisms in private before I do one publicly, if you could arrange that. Also, what happens if I go to heal someone and it doesn't work? Is there a plan B? The disciples didn't have any of that, and they didn't have the option of waiting until they were fully prepared and confident, or until they knew that they weren't going to embarrass themselves. Jesus said, come, follow me, and that was their chance. It was, come as you are, rough edges and all, and be ready to offer what you have as is, or get stuck in the boat. The disciples took that risk, and the outcomes were varied. Sometimes they performed miracles, and sometimes they were driven out of towns. But we can see that even when they messed up, like the time they told the children to go away, or when they got caught arguing about who was the greatest, or even when they fell asleep in the garden, when they were supposed to be keeping watch, God's message and redeeming work still came through. God's plan wasn't resting on their ability to minister correctly, but rather on their willingness to try, to say yes, and to give it what they had. And over time, if we follow their progression from that first call in the Gospels to the ministry they do in Acts, we can see that they grow and they become the people that they need to be. But it wouldn't have happened if they stayed in the boat until they felt ready. Most of us don't have to make the same decision that the disciples did of whether to drop everything and go. But we do make decisions every day about how we'll show up in life. Whether we'll offer something of ourselves that is in process, or if we'll be cautious and guarded, offering only what we're sure of. Whether we'll try our hand at something new that we might not be comfortable with, or stick with those things that we know we're going to be good at. Whether we will share our genuine thoughts and feelings, an honest reflection of where we're at, or share only those parts of ourselves that we know will be well received. We all make choices every day about whether we will offer ourselves as we are, which I would liken to the disciples jumping out of that boat and going for it, or if we'll wait to speak, act, and contribute until what we have to offer is ready, certain, and fail-safe. The problem is that if we're waiting for that ideal, we could be waiting forever. And what we'd miss out on in the meantime is a far greater loss. I like how author Brené Brown describes it in her book, Daring Greatly. She says, "When we spend our lives waiting until we are perfect before walking into the arena, we sacrifice relationships and opportunities that may not be recoverable. We squash our precious time, and we turn our backs on our gifts, the unique contributions only we can make. Perfect does not exist in the human experience. We must walk into the arena, whether a new relationship, an important meeting, a creative process, a difficult conversation, or an intense class with lots of sharing, with courage and willingness to engage. Rather than sitting on the sidelines and passing judgment and advice, we must dare to show up and let ourselves be seen." Today, we can think about where these decisions might exist in our own lives. Where are the places that we have a chance to speak, act, and make a contribution? What would it mean for us to try something uncertain or offer something that is a work in progress, but that is a genuine gift of self? As we think about this, I'll offer a bit of advice that's helped me, that came from a priest and mentor of mine, Jim Steen, who some of you know. I had the opportunity to sit in a number of groups that he led, and as a facilitator, he would always start the group with ground rules. And if you've ever done group work, you know that ground rules usually consist of things like be a good listener and pay attention when other people are talking. But the one ground rule that Jim would always offer was be raggedy. "Be raggedy," he would write on the whiteboard, bemused every time. And it always came across as funny, especially when it was in a room of professional clergy in collars who didn't look like they were there to be raggedy. But it was a great way to set the tone for our time together. Committing to being raggedy meant that we'd allow our rough edges to be seen. We wouldn't wait to speak until our thoughts were fully formed and perfectly developed. We'd be willing to ask a real question, that is, one that is okay admitting ignorance, and one that really wants to understand. I noticed such a difference in the conversation where this was a ground rule. It felt like the connection was more intimate, the content more substantive, but there was also more laughter and playfulness. People tended to share things that really mattered to them, even when they were hard to talk about. So what if we allow ourselves to be raggedy? What would happen if we'd allow ourselves to leap from the boat and be seen and participate just as we are? My sense is that the contribution that we can make from this dynamic in-process ground is actually better than giving something that is already perfect, fully formed, and finished. The disciples didn't wait, and neither should we. Get out of the boat, be raggedy, come as you are, and offer what you have. Amen.